Genesis 35, and tonight we're going to be looking at a message that I've entitled Grace for Bearing Burdens. That's something that we can all use, especially in this day full of burdens. You know, the Christian life is not a burden-free life, and I think we've all figured that out. Christians get sick, Christians get the COVID, Christians lose loved ones, they suffer family problems, they face work pressures, they have car troubles. Christian life is not free from burdens. And you know, being a Christian actually introduces us to burdens that the world doesn't have. We have the burdens of being persecuted. And when we stand up for the Lord, people will take offense at what we believe and stand for. And Paul said that even Christian leaders have burdens that the average person doesn't have. Remember, Paul said, beside those things that are without, that which cometh unto me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul said, I have the burden of caring for all the churches as well. And he had all kinds of other burdens on top of that. But that was the burden that he ended up his little list with. Now, Jacob certainly had his share of burdens. And we've been looking through the life of Jacob in the last few weeks. And Jacob's burdens, last week when we left him there in Genesis 34, he had some major burdens. Simeon and Levi had just killed a whole city full of men, dishonestly and unjustly, and murdered them. And now Jacob's thoughts that were going through his mind is the cities around that were their friends are going to come and attack me, and I don't have a chance. There's just a small group of us compared to all of them. We're going to get wiped out. We are in big trouble. And you can imagine, you know, that night as he goes to bed, and just try to put yourself in Bible characters' situations. Can you imagine your sons had just gone out and committed murder and killed a whole city full of people and all the inhabitants of the land? You're fearful they're going to come and attack you at any moment. That night he probably didn't sleep a wink. He hears every little wiggle and the dog barks and he jumps and, you know, and he's terrified that the enemy's going to come and get him and destroy them for what his sons had done. He was carrying some major heavy burdens. But as we dig into this chapter 35, we're going to see that that wasn't the only burden Jacob had. And in fact, God gives us a list of several other burdens that he picked up as he continued on. His life was full of burdens. And God never promised that his people that they would have a life of ease. And he did promise that he would give us his grace. And that is a blessing, that God's grace is sufficient to meet our needs. You know, it's important for us to remember that. As we look at this passage here tonight, I want us to notice the different ways in which Jacob learned to give God his burdens. And we can learn from him by his example. We start out here in verse number 1. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Now this is over 20, probably more like 30 years earlier, maybe 35 years earlier, when he had fled from his brother. And as you look at our map here, I don't have Bethel on here, but Bethel is straight north of Jerusalem, so it's up here just probably about where the A is on Judea. And so Bethel's there. He's been up here in Shechem, which was right straight west of the Jabbok River. It was inland about in here. This is where he was settled. That's where the problems came up. That's where his sons killed all these people. And so God says, I want you to leave here and I want you to go down to Bethel. And so God sent him down there. Now, as we look at this here, Jacob went to God for grace. He had all these burdens on his shoulders and Jacob went to God. Now, again, God doesn't give us all the details, but God, you know, the last chapter just ended. He had all these problems, and now God speaks to Jacob. And why did God speak to Jacob? I don't think it was just, you know, that Jacob went to sleep that night and think, oh boy, what am I going to do? I'm going to worry about all this all night long, and then God all of a sudden speaks to him. I think Jacob went to God. I think Jacob went to God and said, God, I've got to have your help. We're in big trouble. I need your help. And God speaks to Jacob and says, Jacob, I want you to go south. I want you to go down to Bethel, and I want you to build an altar there, and I want you to worship me there. And that's an important thing. Jacob, first of all, drew near to God. And you know, when we are facing troubles, one of the best things we can do is to draw near to God. We need to be close to God. And we need God's help during times of trouble. And Jacob spent time with God, talking to God, and God said, I want you to travel down there, that 32 kilometers from where he was, down to Bethel. Not a great long way, probably a day's journey with all of his cattle and sheep and all those things, and start early in the morning, get there late in the evening. But he said, I want you to travel down there, and I want you to build an altar, and I want you to worship me down there. And Jacob obeyed. And Jacob obeyed what God said to do. And that's an important thing for us to see. Verse number 2, then Jacob said to his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Now, that is an important verse. Because God may have spoken more to us. You know, that's one of the things, when you read in the scriptures, God doesn't tell us everything that he said or everything that took place. He gives us the highlights. And there's a chance that God told Jacob in this talk as well, that night when he had a talk with God, and Jacob's been praying and discussing with God, and God says, I want you to go down to Bethel. God may have told him, listen, Jacob, you need a clean house. Things are not right in your house. You have problems there, and you know it, and you need a clean house. And you need to deal with the things there. There needs to be some spiritual leadership. And I believe that God was encouraging Jacob to take the spiritual leadership in his home and to lead his family in the right direction. Jacob knew that his family had idols. Now, they picked that up in Haran when they're up there. Who was it that took the idols from her father? Yeah, it wasn't Leah. It was Rachel. Rachel took those idols from her father and hid them from him and stole them. And so why would you steal idols? There's only one reason you'd steal an idol. You worship that thing. There's no other reason you'd steal an idol. You'd be stupid to steal an idol for any other reason, except that she felt like that was her little god and she needed her little god. That's tragic. And so Jacob knew it wasn't some, you know, Jacob didn't say, now listen, folks, if any of you might possibly have an idol, you need to get rid of it. It was like he knew that there was a problem there. And Jacob had to deal with this. And he said, we're going to meet God. God wants us to go down there. We're going to have a time of worshiping God. So God says, I want you to go down to Bethel. And we need to get right with God before we go down there. And so the very first thing he does is he speaks to his family and says, listen, we need to get these things out of our lives. And so Jacob ordered them to put away their idols. And then he says, I want you to put away the strange gods. I want you to be clean. You need to take a bath. And I want you to put on new garments, clean clothes. Now, that tells us several things. Apparently, they didn't bathe all that often, and they probably didn't change their clothes all that often. It probably wasn't all that convenient, all right? Being in that kind of a situation, they were so used to, you know, turning on the shower and jumping in and getting clean. It was probably a major drama for them. You couldn't just turn on the shower and do that. So it was probably one of those things that, you know, once in a while we'd take a bath, and he says, I want you to take your bath, I want you to put on clean clothes, and I want you to get rid of your idols. We're going to talk to God. And he was preparing his family for that time of meeting with God. Now, while no husband can force an inward spiritual change on his household members, he can insist on and monitor an outward compliance. And that is something that as men, we need to be leaders, and we need to do those kind of things. We can't force a change. You know, we can't force a change on anybody's heart. Sometimes I wish we could. You know people that aren't right with God or they're not saved, and you wish you could just say, come on, you got to do it. Well, we can't do that. But we can urge them, we can challenge them, but when they're under our household or they're under our authority, we do have the right and the authority and the responsibility to say, listen, we're going to do it this way. Remember what Joshua said there at the end of his life? He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. So I've made up my mind in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And that's what Joshua said, and here Jacob now is saying, listen, we're going to serve God now. We're going down to Bethel. We're going to meet God, and we're going to build an altar, and we're going to worship God. But before we do, we've got to get right with God. So let's get rid of the idols, and we're going to take a bath and put on clean clothes. We're going down to Bethel to meet God. Now, we see in verse number 4 that his family obeyed. In verse number 4, and they gave Jacob all their strange gods. Oh, it wasn't just one. It wasn't just Rachel. All their strange gods that were in their hand. And all their earrings which were in their ears. Now that's an important statement. And when you read something like that, what should you do? You should say, why did he say that? And you start digging. And as I started digging, the more I dug, I found out that it was a common thing in those days that they would engrave images of their idols on their, even on their earrings. And so the earrings were often involved in their idol worship because of those kind of things. And so he said, I want you to give me all your earrings. I want you to give me all your strange gods and your idols. But this is one thing that, I'm going to have to ask God about when we get to heaven. Notice the next line. And Jacob, what's the next word? Hid them under the oak at by Shechem. I think, why did you hide them? Why not just throw them into the fire? Get rid of them things. But he dug a hole and he hid them under the oak tree by Shechem. Now, whether he had thoughts of someday, there's valuable, maybe they were made of gold or silver, or maybe we'll go back there or something. I don't know what he was thinking. Why hide them instead of destroy them? But that's what he did. At least he got rid of them. So they didn't have them anymore. And that's the important part, is that they dealt with it and they obeyed God and they got rid of those things. Now, they take their journey then from Shechem to Bethel, which is about a 32-kilometer trek down to the south, almost straight south from where they were, headed straight south down to Bethel. Now, Bethel is where Jacob met God that first time, and he saw the ladder coming out of heaven, and he saw the angels going up and down, and he talked with God. So he talked with God there some 30-some years earlier than this, and now he's coming back, and he's coming down there again, this time with all kinds of burdens. The first time he was in Bethel, did he have any burdens? Yeah, he had big burdens then. He had just deceived his dad. His brother hated him. His brother said, when dad dies, I'm going to kill you. He had some big burdens, and he's running away. He's all by himself. He's going north. He's never been there before. He had lots of burdens on him that first time when he was at Bethel, and now he comes back to Bethel a second time, coming south, and he's got lots of burdens on him again. Now he's got the burdens of his sons having killed all these people, and he's fearful of all the enemies of the land, and he's afraid they're going to kill him. He had lots of troubles. Now, what can we learn from this? Well, as husbands, God holds us accountable for those under our care, and that's a big responsibility for all of us as men, that we need to do what is right, because one day we're going to stand before God and give account of those under us. And that is a fearful thought. And we may not have carved idols, and I certainly hope we don't. I don't think any of us have any carved idols at home that we go home to and just, when nobody's looking, we bow down and pray to our little idol. We don't do that. But at the same time, many Christian homes have things that they idolize in their home. And I hope that this isn't true of us, but many do. Things of, like godless music that, people idolize that music. This is my music. I love that stuff. And maybe it's their ungodly entertainment on the television or videos or internet. Or maybe they're worldly heroes. Teenagers oftentimes will have the big posters of their heroes on their walls in the rooms and their idols. And that they put ahead of God. Maybe it's coveting bad things and, gambling habits and of that nature and immodest clothing and hairstyles like the world and idols of the heart of greed and prosperity. There's so many things that God said. Anything that we put ahead of God becomes an idol. We may not set it up on the shelf and say, here's my little idol, and I'm going to lay some fruit in front of it, and I'm going to pray to it every morning. We may not do that, but at the same time, when we put things there in front of God that is more important to us than obeying and honoring God, then that becomes an idol. And we need to be careful about that. God demands that we separate from sin before we can come near to Him. And so He says to Jacob, all right, Jacob, I want you to come down to Bethel, but before you do, you need a clean house. You need to have a spiritual house cleaning, get rid of the idols, wash your clothes, wash your bodies and put on some clean clothes. You're going to come to meet God. God is holy and we need to be ready to meet God. Now, when Jacob did that, then God drew near to Jacob. All right, we see in verse number 9. It says, and God appeared unto Jacob again. And he came out, when he came out of Padan Aram, and blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob, and thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give it, the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. So here Jacob meets God again. Where? At Bethel. He met God first at Bethel. And God spoke to him when he was still up in Haran. And he says, remember, he says, I want you to go back home. And sent him home, and now he's obeyed God, and then he got partway home, and they're near the Jabbok River, and God met him again when that night that he wrestled with God, and God caused him to limp, and he limps the rest of his life, and now he crosses over into the Canaan land, and there's all this trouble, and he's panicking and fearful, and he runs to God again, and God says, I want you to go down to Bethel. And so he sends him down to Bethel, and now Jacob is there at Bethel, and God meets with him, and God talks to him once again, and encourages him to draw near and do what is right. All right, now, as we look at this, there's so much here that reminds me of those victory steps that we're going to be memorizing and working on. Some of you have already memorized them. James chapter 4. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Submit yourselves therefore to God. I need to fix that last verse a little bit. But it's talking about humble yourselves in sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Okay, that's the one I needed. All right, now, these are victory steps. Steps that we need to take when we need victory over a sin or over a problem in our life. We need to, first of all, submit to God. And then we need to draw near to God. And we need to make sure we get our heart cleaned up with God. And we grieve over our sins. And then we need to humble ourselves before God. Those are the victory steps that God has given to us. Now, once Jacob submitted to God, God drew near to him. And Jacob cleaned his heart and got ready for God, and God drew near to him, just like God said he would do. And that's what we need. And Jacob here worshipped God. Verse number 14, and Jacob set up a pillar in the place, and he talked where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake unto him, Bethel. You know, I remember, I wonder what went through Jacob's mind. He says, it's been over 30 years since I've been here, but I'm back again. And God brought me back safely, and I'm healthy. And, God has met my needs. And God met my needs then when I had troubles from my brother. And God will meet my needs again. And God has promised He's going to take care of me. And here He is at Bethel. And, sometimes we need to just run back to a Bethel in our life, where we just go back to that place where we meet with God. We need to have a little Bethel in our life where we meet with God and we just get right with God and we get things taken care of. You throw off the sins and we need revival. Revival is just meeting with God like we need to have there. And that's what Jacob had. And that is one of our greatest needs today, is for revival. If I was to say, if you came to me and said, Pastor, what was the greatest need that you have in your life? I would say, I need revival. I need revival. I need revival. And I'm reminded of the words of my former pastor, Dr. Rick Flanders. He said, revival is getting back to normal. Revival is getting back to normal. The normal Christian life is a walk in the Spirit, walking in the light, It's abiding in Christ. It's sweet fellowship with God. That's the normal Christian life. And we need to get back to normal. Because so many times we drift away from what God says is normal and we fall into bad habits of being away from God. And so we need revival in our hearts. And oh, how I need that, to just constantly be drawing close to God so that God will meet with me every day and show me from the Scriptures things that I can follow. And you need that too. You know, every single day, it isn't just on Sundays. And I hope you do get your soul filled on Sundays. I strive to do that, but I'm not God. But every day you need to meet with God and say, God, feed my soul today. I need something from the Scriptures that can help me today. And God can do that if you'll do that. If you'll cry out to Him, God will meet that need. We need to let God have His way in our life. But as we continue on, God gave Jacob grace then to bear the burdens that were ahead. He gave him grace to face the ones that were just behind him. His sons had killed all these people, but there were more problems coming. And as you continue reading in the chapter, you see that a lot of the problems that continue to come. And being right with God will not eliminate burdens in our life. You know, some of the finest Christians faced a lot of burdens. The Apostle Paul. I mean, you'd have a hard time finding a person to walk closer to God than the Apostle Paul. I mean, I read some of his writings and some of the things he said, and I thought, wow. Paul, you weren't saying that braggingly because you said it under inspiration of God. You know, some of the things that he went through and the way that he was and the godly man that he was, but when he came to God and said, God, would you please take away the thorn of the flesh, what did God say? He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Most gladly, therefore, Paul said, I will glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, I need God's power so much that I will gladly take the troubles that come my way so that I can depend more on God. You know, that is something that is hard for us to really take to heart sometimes. That God is able to show His strength during our weaknesses, so that He gets all the glory. But when we're strong, who do we depend on? We depend on ourselves. But when we're weak and we can't do it, we run to God and say, God, I can't. I can't. I need You. I can't. And God gives us strength to do what we can't do. Then God gets the glory. And God says, I did it through you. I did it for you. And God gets the praise and the glory. And that's what we've got to focus on. So those burdens, we need to come to God and give them to Him. Now, what were some of the burdens that he faced? Look at verse number 8. We've already passed it, but let's back up a second. Verse number 8. And Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died. And she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak. And the name was called Alon-Bakkath. All right, now, who was Deborah? Well, who was Rebekah? Rebekah was his mother. And Deborah was his mother's nurse. In other words, she was his mother's personal care. And by this time, Rebekah evidently was dead. And why was Deborah with Jacob? Well, nobody knows for sure. But it's possible that when Jacob got back into the land, I'm sure he had gone down to visit Dad and visited the family. And perhaps as he went down there, Deborah didn't have any work right now. She would have been a very old lady by that time. Because she probably was the one that took care of Jacob when he was a little baby. And the little, you know, she was the nanny in the house, you know, to take care of Jacob. And so now, years and years and years later, Jacob's a full-grown man and fairly elderly man by this time. And so he finds Deborah, probably brought her back home with him to care for her in her elderly years. And she maybe was still able to help out with his family. He had a big family. You got 12 kids. You need some help here and there. And so it could be that. We don't know for sure, but she was there. But now Deborah dies. And she was a dear friend of Jacob. Anytime a dear friend dies, that hurts. That hurts. And so Jacob's bearing the burden of this. But then it gets worse. Look at verse 16. Verse number 16. And they journeyed from Bethel And they were but a little way from Ephrathah. And Rachel travailed, and she was in hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, for thou shalt have a son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, and his father called him Benjamin. All right, now, Jacob's a pretty old man by this time. Rachel's no young chicken either. She's pretty old too. But she now finally has expecting a baby. I mean, she's only got one other son, Joseph, who's now by this time probably about 16 years old. And she has another baby coming along. And she died in childbirth. Now, what a heartbreak. Here's Jacob. He loved her. She was his favorite wife, which was not a good thing, but that's another story. But it was his favorite wife. Shouldn't have had more than one. But and she dies. And giving childbirth. He's got this little baby. What am I going to do with a little baby with no mom? So all that heartache, all that struggle, all that burden is piled on Jacob now in his elderly years. And he marks her grave in verse number 20. And Jacob set up a pillar upon her grave, that is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. And so Jacob's grieving that he lost his wife. But things go worse yet. Verse number 23. And the sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon. I skipped one. Verse 22. And it came to pass that when Israel dwelt in the land, that Reuben went and laid with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard of it. Now the sons of Jacob were to 12, and he gives a list. All right, so in 22, you know, Reuben sins with one of Jacob's wives and gives great grief and burden and heartache to Jacob as well. But the troubles continue to pile on. And verse number 27. And Jacob came unto Isaac, his father, in Mamre. All right, so Mamre was way down in the south, near Hebron area. And he comes down to where his father lived, and it says, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, and where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. And the days of Isaac were 104. So he's 180 years old. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Now, how old would Jacob be now at this time? Well, you can know exactly how old was his Isaac when Jacob was born. He's 60. He was 60 when Jacob was born. So now Jacob's 120. So Jacob and Esau are 120 years old now, and his father dies. I mean, one right after another. First Deborah dies, and then Rachel dies, and then Reuben sins, and now Isaac, his father, dies. He's had all kinds of heartaches, burdens, and troubles on top of the troubles he already had. And all through this, God has given him grace in helping him through these burdens and helping him through these trials. And, you know, when burdens come, we will be tempted to react in the flesh. Now, folks, we've all experienced that. When burdens come, we're tempted to react in the flesh. Why did this happen to me? Why does this trouble? Well, I can't believe that happened. Or we panic, or we worry, or we fret over the troubles that come our way. We react in the flesh. And what do we need to do? We need to stop and force ourselves to react biblically. And I struggle to do that consistently. When a problem comes, a major issue happens, something bad takes place, instead of stopping and acting biblically, it's so much easier to respond in the flesh and worry and fret or get upset or get angry or get discouraged or depressed. God wants us to stop and respond biblically. We need to be calm. We need to pray even when we don't feel like it. And I'll tell you, there's times when you're burdened, there's a problem, there's something that's gone wrong. Sometimes it's hard to pray because you're all upset inside. And there's a problem, you're distressed. And what we need to do is just take a deep breath and calm down. And think biblically. Think, what I really need to do is I need to pray. That's what we need to do. That's sometimes hard to do. But that's the right thing to do. And we need to learn from Jacob. We need to then follow the victory steps in James 4. That's one of the reasons, as I was developing this message, I thought, you know, those are the verses we really need to go over again. Work on learning those verses. If you don't have them down perfect, and I already showed you that I need to work on them some more. We need to get them down perfect so we have them down in our heart. And we know those verses. They can help us. They're victory steps that will strengthen us. And then remember those verses we've already learned. Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And then sing that little chorus that we've sing on Wednesday nights. Cast your burden on the Lord and He will keep you. He has promised He will never ever leave you. He will always be there ready to uphold you. Cast your burden on the Lord, for Jesus cares. When discouraged, ask the Lord to make you cheerful. Seek the comfort of the Lord when you are tearful. Trust the Lord with all your heart when you are fearful. Cast your burden on the Lord, for Jesus cares. Are you struggling with burdens tonight? If you're not, you will be. It's part of the life. There are burdens on every side. And how are we handling them? If we follow Jacob's example and draw near to God and put into practice the victory steps, we can have victory. But it takes discipline. It takes work. And men, it's not easy for us to be spiritual leaders. But God's given us that responsibility. And if you're not yet married, the day may come that the Lord will give you a spouse and you will have that responsibility. But those of us who are, we have that. A responsibility to lead and to guide in our home. And if the things in our home are not right, they will distance us from God. And Jacob, how did he respond? He said, all right, family, listen, we're going to have to get some things right. He says, get rid of the idols. Get them out of your life. Let's take a bath. Put on some clean clothes. We're going to go meet with our holy God. And he cleaned up his family and got them ready to meet with God. And God met with him and met his needs and helped him through his troubles and burdens. That's the answer to our burdens as well. We need a close walk with God.